Well, thank you again for listening today. I'm going to play the second part of a message on why some people die early. And I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Let's go right now to the church auditorium.
Number 3, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, why do people die early? If I had to say of all 7 of these points to you as a believer in Jesus Christ today, this is the most important one. This is the one you want to make sure you pay attention to. 1 John chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 16. This applies directly to saved people. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that I shall pray for it. There is a sin unto death. When we take communion here, we serve the Lord's table, we usually read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, do not take the Lord's table unworthily. Do not take the Lord's table when you're living in sin and you're unrepentant of it. You're sinning, and yet there's no repentance. Do not take the Lord's table, he says, because some have done that. In fact, the Bible says many have done that, and many are sick. God allows them to become sick because they've sinned against him. And then it says, and many sleep. Many are dead. Many people are dead because they take the Lord's table. They take the Lord's table. They're living in sin, and they are unrepentant of it. And then God takes their life. Sin unto death. It's not one specific sin. It's not murder. It's not adultery. It's not suicide. It's not one specific sin. It's just that you are sinning and you are unrepentant and unwilling to deal with your sin. Therefore, God will take your life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, I'll read this to you. A man is living with his stepmother. He's living in what we would call incest. Paul writes back to the church at Corinth and says, why are you not doing anything about it? You're puffed up. Man's living in immorality. You're allowing him to come to your church. Why aren't you dealing with that sin? And in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 5, Paul says to the church at Corinth to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He says, turn his flesh over to Satan, so Satan can take his life, that his soul would still be saved. You know, when the Bible says when you get saved, God has a hold of you, and you're kept by the power of God. No one can pluck you out of his hand. No one can take away your salvation. But you can commit the sin unto death. You can sin so grievously that God will take you home early. Your salvation is still secure. You're still going to heaven. But because of your sin, he will take you home early. It is a sin unto death. In this case, it was a sin of immorality. The man was living with his stepmother. It's interesting, though, in 2 Corinthians, the Bible says the man repented and came back. And Paul said to the church, he said, love him that he's not overwhelmed by his past sin. Also, in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira sold their property, and they came to Peter and said, we're going to take the money we made from this property, and we're going to give it all to the church. Well, it was a lie. They were going to give part, but they weren't going to give all. Now, they didn't have to give it all. They didn't have to give any of it. But they came to Peter, and they said, we're going to give you all the money from the sale of our property. We're giving it to God, and they lied to the Holy Spirit when they did that. And the Bible says when Ananias handed it over to Peter, that Ananias dropped dead right there, the sin unto death. And then Sapphira, his wife, came in a little bit later, unbeknownst that her husband had died, and said, I've come to give my money from the property that we sold. And Peter said, ask her the same question. And it says Sapphira dropped dead right there on the spot. She died. Sin unto death. Now, I say to you again, it's not a specific sin. It's not that you've lied 22 times and the 23rd time you're going to die. It's not that you're a thief. It's not that you're an extortioner. It's not that you're coveting. It's not that you've murdered someone. It's not a specific sin. It's when you're living in sin and you are unrepentant and you're unwilling to deal with it and you are a believer and you're reaching the point to you're damaging the church so much. You're damaging the cause of Christ. You're of no value to Christ. In Philippians 1:21, it says, to live is Christ. The reason for being here is to live for Christ. And when you reach the point that you're of no value to the church in that way, you're of no value to Christ, you're not going to turn back, then God says, I'll take your life. I'll take you home early. That's not the way you want to go to heaven. You do not want to get to heaven a year ahead of time, or 10 years ahead of time, or whenever. And then finally, in Amos chapter 4, Israel was living in sin. And God brought trouble to Israel. He brought famine. He brought too much rain. He brought drought. He brought disease. He brought war to Israel. And finally, after all of that, God said to Israel, you won't repent. You won't repent. And in Amos chapter 4, verse 12, God said to Amos, prepare to meet the Lord thy God. You know what? He said, I brought famine, you didn't repent. I brought war, I brought floods, I brought drought, I brought it all. You won't repent. Okay, prepare to meet the Lord. I'm coming myself. I will come myself, and you will be destroyed. So, over and over and over in the Bible, we have evidence of people committing the sin unto death. In sin, as a believer, unwilling to repent. And finally, God will take you home. You know, we're not God. I'm not God. I don't know when it is, but I've seen it in years past. I've seen people do things. So now I think, they're not going to be here very long, and then nothing seems to happen. So, you know, we don't know. We're not the judge. We can't read a person's heart. Maybe a person is inwardly repentant that we're not aware of. I don't know that. But I know this, that this is not a game that you want to be playing. You do not want to be flirting with sin and with God. And you want to be very careful because God very clearly says, there is a sin unto death. I'll take you home. I will take you home. Early. Number four, selfish sin. Some people die early because of selfishness. Suicide would be the number one thing. When people commit suicide, they're basically saying, God cannot take care of this. I'm going to take care of it. I give up. I'm going to kill myself. That could be an unsaved person, could be a saved person, but they give up. I had a young man in my church in Columbus, Ohio. He was 26 years old. He walked up to me one night on a Wednesday night. He said, Pastor, if a Christian commits suicide, will they still go to heaven? I said, yes, they will. If you are honestly born again, know Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you commit suicide, you'll go to heaven. About 10 months later, a year later, I got a call from his mother. They said, my son's in the hospital, and they said, come immediately. And we knew at that point that it usually means he's dead. We got there and they had him on respirators. He had shot himself in the head. He went down to a park in Columbus, Ohio and shot himself in the head. They revived him. They brought him down to the hospital, Grant Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. And they had him on a respirator and they had him breathing. But for all intent and purposes, he was dead. You know what? He was a drug addict, a heavy drug addict as a teenager. And then he got saved, and he pulled out of it. And he tried to go to Bible college, but they wouldn't let him in Bible college because he never graduated from high school. And he came home, and he was discouraged. And he was trying to live right. He smoked a little pot here, a little pot there, and he was kind of up and down. But I know from being around him and talking to him, he felt like he had blown it. He had blown his opportunity to really live for God. He was a believer. I don't have any doubt in my mind he was saved. He said, I've missed my opportunity. I'll never be for God what I could have been. And he killed himself. He had a young wife, been married a year. I did that funeral, and the place was absolutely packed. It was wall-to-wall people. And you know where they were from? Because he wasn't from a big family. They were from Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous and all the groups that he went to. And he had told me, he said, you know, I have blown it. I have missed my opportunity. I'm not being used of God the way I could have been. And poor guy, he didn't realize he had impact on all those people. All of those people in NA and AA, he was telling them about Christ. God was using him in his life. He was being used and did not recognize it. And at the funeral, the place was packed with those people. And when we gave an invitation to come to Christ, it was just like well over half the people responded, I want to have Christ as my Savior. And I would just say to you, he thought he had blown it. He had wasted his life and it was useless. And he gave up a selfishness. He gave up. And in reality, God was at work in his life. God was using him. He was wrong. He bought into Satan's lie. If Satan's telling you today that you've wasted your life, it's useless, and it's never going to change, it won't get any better, you've made mistakes that can't be changed, Satan's lying to you. Satan is lying to you because God can still use you. And don't give up. Don't commit suicide. Don't make that mistake. I think it's a selfish sin. You and I are not able to see what is going on in the whole world of our life because we can't see the spirit world around us. We can't see God's plan for everyone else around us. You do not know the influence you have.